I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From him he came and sought her to
welcome, my friend, to a journey into the Bible. You're listening to the Voice of Hope, an expository Bible teaching program. Whether you're well-versed in the Bible or turning its pages for the first time, together we're learning to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, one step at a time. The Voice of Hope is brought to you by Heralds of Hope, an international media ministry where we equip the church to carry out the Great Commission. I'm Anthony High, and I'm here with our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst, to bring you today's teaching from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. But first, here's a testimony from a listener to our Amharic program in Ethiopia. I'm a servant of God and in the local church here in my area as an evangelist. I live in a rural area, and I visit people with the Word of God. The Heralds of Hope radio program has significantly helped me in my ministry. I really care about your program. Please remember this community in my evangelism work in your prayers. God bless you. It's common to hear from church leaders who are using the radio as a seminary or Bible school. Here's another testimony from Nepal. We're both leaders in our church. Until today, we didn't have any biblical training, and so we spend most of our time listening to radio programs for our training and learning the Word of God. Many times we pick the lessons and teach from the radio program. These dear church leaders are studying the Word of God and in turn discipling others in their churches and communities. You know, this sounds a bit like what Jesus was teaching his disciples in Mark chapter 6. Here's Bible teacher J. Mark Horst to share today's teaching, a disciple's commission.
Back in the day when I was in junior high school, one of the classes that we boys were required to take was woodshop. The teacher was a little bit eccentric, but I did learn some fundamentals of woodworking in that class. And of course, the best part was using those essential hand tools to learn how to build simple projects. And because of that positive experience, I then took woodshop as an elective in my sophomore year in high school. After that, I was hooked, and I spent many years in the woodworking industry. And even today, I enjoy it as a hobby. One of my experiences was working with custom cabinetry. And in the shop where I worked, an older man, an experienced cabinet maker, was the one who taught me most of the things that I eventually learned about the trade. It wasn't any kind of a formal apprenticeship, but I enjoyed that kind of role with him, and he and I got along together very well. Something that always amazed me about him was his ability to fix other people's mistakes. We worked in a shop with about a dozen employees, and inevitably, somewhere in the process, from building the cabinets to shipping them out the door, mistakes were made, or maybe a product got damaged. And when that happened, what did they do? They brought them to my older friend to fix. And very seldom, there was a piece that was beyond his ability to repair. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I had to work with him and to learn from him. Today, we hear a lot about mentoring as though it's something new. It's really not. It's just another word for being an apprentice, or perhaps maybe even an older term, a disciple. And you know, whenever I hear the word disciple, I think of the 12, the disciples of Jesus. Working through Mark's gospel, we see how the 12 accompanied Jesus everywhere he went. They listened to his teaching. They watched him as he responded to the needs of the people that he met. They saw him cleanse the lepers, restore sight to the blind, and heal the crippled, and even raise the dead back to life. They heard his teaching, which was so different from the other rabbis of the day. And not only that, they saw him live out what he taught. In all of this, they were learning what it meant to be his followers, his disciples. But in every relationship like theirs, the time comes when the disciple or the apprentice needs some hands-on experience. And that's what we see here in Mark chapter 6. Jesus commissions his disciples and sends them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, to put into practice what they had learned. Today, every person who repents of their sin and accepts by faith the sacrifice of Christ as the only acceptable payment for their sin is forgiven. And by virtue of that, they become a disciple of Christ. As his disciples, you and I are called to proclaim the gospel. It's important for all disciples to be part of a local church fellowship because it's in that context that newly converted disciples can be mentored by older, more experienced followers of Jesus. Paul's epistles give clear teaching on how this process should work, and Paul's letter to Titus, especially chapter 2, is a good example for us. You know, much of what is recorded in the Gospels is historical narrative, especially in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a narrative that shows how Jesus began to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Not everything that Jesus and the 12 did back then are we commanded to do today. However, we can learn many things by observing the underlying principles of the historical narrative. Our text for today, I believe, illustrates this fact. In Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13, we see Jesus giving specific instructions about how the disciples were to carry out an assignment that he was giving to them. Jesus probably would give us different specifics today than he did back then. but I believe there are still important principles we can learn as we study this text. And so to begin, let me read Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. I've titled our study, A Disciple's Commission. So here is that text, Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself, and began to send them out, two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. This text notes several important principles that should be understood by all who receive a disciple's commission. The first principle that we need to understand is delegated authority. In the opening of our text, Jesus called the 12 together for a meeting. He is sending them out in groups of two as his ambassadors, his apostles, to preach the kingdom of God, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick, according to verse 13. These six pairs of men would be able to cover more places in Galilee than if they all stayed together. But they weren't going to do ministry on their own strength. Jesus equipped them with what they needed. Verse 7 says that he gave them power over unclean spirits. The English word power is translated from the Greek word exousia, and it is often translated in other places as authority. By giving the disciples authority, Jesus gave them the right to act in his name. He was giving them jurisdiction or control over unclean spirits. And incidentally, the word gave for us is past tense. However, the original word is in the imperfect tense, which means that Jesus kept on giving them power throughout the entire duration of their ministry. So it wasn't just one event, but it was an ongoing act. His presence and his power accompanied them the whole time they were out there serving. This same word, exousia, is used in John 1, verse 12, where John states this, But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave power, that is authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now some other translations substitute the word right for authority. Those who receive Jesus have the legal right to become the sons of God. So here we see the delegated authority principle in those who were commissioned to proclaim the gospel. Jesus gave the 12 the might and the right to carry out their commission. And this principle still applies to every disciple of Jesus today. We have delegated authority that comes to us by virtue of our relationship with Christ. The power and authority to proclaim the gospel are not inherent in us. They are something we have received, and you and I must never forget that. As Jesus' disciples, we are called to proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, don't let the word preach in verse 12 scare you off or perhaps make you think you're exempt from the command. Keruso means to herald or proclaim or publish, and we can all do that in one way or another. God has given me the tools of media to use in proclamation. He's most likely given you a different set of tools. But we're all working together toward the same goal, and that is making Christ known. Now, this authority over demons, is that for today, or is that era past? I believe we have that authority today. The scripture tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. So he actively opposes God's plan, and he is accusing us before the Father. But you and I, through the power of the name of Jesus and the power of his blood shed on the cross, have access to a power that is greater than any demonic force. One of the powerful ways we can help fulfill this commission to proclaim the gospel is to access the power of prayer. Speaking about the unsaved, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says this, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So you and I can use the delegated authority we have to ask the Father, in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood, to bind the satanic forces, the God of this world, and to open the blinded eyes of the unsaved. And John says we can confidently overcome these antichrist spirits because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Numerous times through the years in my work at Heralds of Hope, I have felt demonic opposition. Calling on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood and asking him to rebuke those spirits led to visible results. And you know something else? It increased my faith. So I encourage you to use the delegated authority that God has given to you through Jesus. Today, you know as well as I do, demonic activity is out in the open. The preoccupation in our culture with immorality and violence proves that Satan is having his way in the lives of many, many people. Unfortunately, there are many who profess to follow Jesus who are opening themselves to the power of demonic spirits. And they do it through their music, the movies they watch, the video games they play, and the entertainment that makes them vulnerable to the influence of evil. As believers, we need to understand our authority in Christ and how to deal with these challenges. And then you may ask, well, what about the healing of the sick? Well, remember, I said at the beginning that we are commanded to do only some of the things that Jesus and the 12 did. Does that mean that I feel the gift of healing is obsolete or non-existent? By no means. You probably know people who were healed miraculously and instantaneously. And to say that any of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit are non-existent today is putting a limit on God and his purposes. However, we do not see the exercise of this gift of healing nearly as much as in the beginning of the gospel age. But there's another point I'd like to make here. Take a look at verse 13. It says that the disciples healed many who were sick. The word healed comes from the original word therapeuo. In addition to the idea of curing disease, it means to care for, to wait upon, and to relieve. It's where we get our English word therapeutic. Those words express compassion for the person who is suffering and a willingness to serve them. That kind of compassion is essential in proclaiming the kingdom of God. While you and I may not be able to heal the way the disciples did, we can surely show compassion for those who are in need. As we observe the life of Jesus, the alleviation of human suffering accompanied by the proclamation of the gospel is a powerful force in advancing the kingdom of God. Historically, Christians who have been motivated by the love of Christ have built more schools, more hospitals, and more other humanitarian facilities than any other major religious group, expecting nothing in return. In all of this, it's important for us to remember Jesus' words in John 15:5, when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." If we fail to remember this important principle, we will become proud and arrogant, and we will fall into spiritual ruin. So the first principle of a disciple's commission that we need to understand is the realization that we serve with delegated authority. And then there's a second principle we need to understand in a disciple's commission. It is delineated simplicity. To delineate means to describe something in detail. And that's just what Jesus did here in our text in verses 8 and 9. He gave the 12 detailed commands about how to carry out their mission. Those commands present a delineated simplicity. First of all, he said, take nothing for your journey except a staff. Wow, is that all? That is exactly what Jesus said. So there would be no confusion, he delineated the specifics. Don't take a bag. Well, in that day, the bag was used for carrying extra food. And then he said, don't take bread. Well, that makes sense if they weren't supposed to carry a bag to keep it in. And don't carry coins in your money belt. And finally, don't take two coats. And the word here refers to a close-fitting inner garment. That would be the equivalent of us leaving home on a trip without clean underwear. Imagine that. What's the point of these specific instructions? Well, I believe Jesus was sending the disciples out like this for a reason. He wanted them to rely on him and him only. They were being sent out with his authority. He wanted them to understand that he could protect them and he could also provide for their every need. Because they didn't have any resources to fall back on, they would fully put their faith and trust in him. Isn't it true that as human beings we often want a fallback position? We want an out in case things don't go the way we think they should? Jesus gave his disciples no fallback position except for their lodging. These restrictions and the unfolding context of Mark chapter 6 suggest to me that the disciples had a fairly short time to carry out their mission. So the question is, are Jesus' commands to the 12 still the model for missions? I have only met one or two persons in my lifetime who came anywhere close to following these specific commands, and they seemed to me to be somewhat mentally and spiritually unstable. Now, I'm not saying that someone who takes this literally is crazy. I'm just telling you my own experience. One significant difference between the setting in Mark 6 and today is hospitality. In the culture of that time, hospitality was a requirement. Remember the widow in Zarephath? She took her last food and gave it to the prophet Elijah. She had no idea God would use her obedience to sustain her and her son, and yet she showed hospitality. And if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll repeatedly see this display of costly, self-sacrificing hospitality. It was that kind of hospitality the disciples were to rely on. And we want to talk some more about that kind of hospitality and how it applies to us today, but we're almost out of time, so that will need to wait until our next visit together.
We are ambassadors for Christ the Savior. We tell the story, give God the glory. Our home is far away on heaven's shore. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus. Pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder upon a happy golden strand.
Here is our Lord's command to every nation. Turn from your sorrow, seek God's tomorrow. Look to a better day, it's surely dawning. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus. We're pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder upon a happy golden strand.
We're here to tell about heaven's bright city, led by the Savior, seeking his favor. Eternal joy awaits for all the saved ones. We're here on business for the King.
We are ambassadors for Jesus. We're pilgrims in a barren land. Our home is waiting over yonder.
yellow parlor of the golden strand.
I hope you have enjoyed today's teaching on a disciple's commission from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Unfortunately, we ran out of time for this week's program. You will want to join us next week as J. Mark concludes this study. In this session, we learned the two principles of the commission Jesus gave his disciples. The first is that he delegated authority to them. Secondly, he delineated simplicity in their ministry. These first two principles certainly give me a lot to think about. I know from personal experience how sharing the gospel cross-culturally has many challenges. The more we can approach the task in humility and love, the more likely people are to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. As always, send us your thoughts and comments. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Again, that's hope@heraldsofhope.org. I invite you to connect with us on our various social media platforms by searching for Heralds of Hope. If you would like to listen to this program again, please visit our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and look for the title, A Disciple's Commission. To contact the Voice of Hope or to submit a gift, call us at 866-960-0292. Or mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228. Your prayers are needful and your gifts are always welcome. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and generous financial support, will enable us to work together to win the world for Jesus. Be sure to join us the next time for the Voice of Hope, as J. Mark continues his teaching from Mark's Gospel and the second part of A Disciple's Commission.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father.
Yeah.